So tomorrow is not only Memorial Day, but it is also Lauren's and my wedding anniversary. Yes. You don't need to applaud. So you can applaud her for, you know. But usually I tell her before I do something like this, but oh, the year is already up there. Oh, well, that's okay. All right, I was going to have you guess how long. It'll be 7 years tomorrow. And when most people find out we've been married 7 years, they're kind of shocked. They say, oh, you're way too young to have been married 7 years. And truly, the statistics for our generation, according to those statistics, we are unusually young to have been married for 7 years. In 2012, the median age of a first marriage in America was for men 28.6 and for women 26.6. That's how old the median couple was at their first year of marriage. That statistic has actually gone up a full year in both categories since we were married 7 years ago. People are getting married later and later. In fact, it's gone up 6 years. You can see this chart, 6 years since 1950. People are getting married 6 years later on average than they were, however many, 63 years ago. And I think there are many reasons for this consistent delaying of the marriage age. But what I hear a lot is, you know, what's the point? Why get married? A lot of people questioning marriage altogether. There's no reason for it. I mean, we can have all the benefits of marriage, so to speak, without all the nasty pressures and obligations and the shackles of commitment and promises. And when people ask me, well, why get married? My response usually is because marriage is a covenant, which is a word that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to a lot of people outside of our churches and a lot of people inside of our churches, for that matter. But some have said that covenant is the Bible's key theme. If you want to understand the Bible, you have to understand covenant. It is how God relates to people. And so as we were discussing membership, for a variety of reasons, some of our leadership teams and boards have been talking about membership because, one, we have trouble meeting our quorum, and two, because how can this church possibly have 240 members? You know, that just doesn't seem like an accurate reflection. And a lot of people just even asking, why should I become a member? What's the point? If all it is I have to serve on a board now, I don't think so. And so we came, as we through these discussions, to this biblical, deep, rich concept of covenant. A covenant in the scriptures is this relationship built on promises and commitments, faithfulness and trustworthiness. And covenant, contrary to many people's opinions, is neither a dry set of tyrannical rules about how you have to do things. And that's why a lot of people don't want to get married, right? It's just these rules that we have to follow, and it's going to dry up our relationship because we just have to stay together. But it also keeps us from being in these relationships where anything goes, that are kind of feeling driven. As long as I feel it, I'm going to be a part of it. God doesn't do casual acquaintances. He does covenants. The church, then, is a covenant community. And this isn't, I didn't just make up that sentence. I think I've used that before, a few times probably. The church is a covenant community. That's who we are. That's how we started. That's what we're about. The New Testament, even the term New Testament, means new covenant. These are people of a new kind of covenant, and that's what the earliest Christians were entering into. This new covenant that God had made with the people. Jesus, when he holds up the cup, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So what does it mean then? As we think about membership and becoming members, and we are thinking about that today, what does it mean, first of all, to enter the new covenant? If to be a Christian means entering into covenant, what does that mean? And I think in some ways we see that in Acts 2. Now, I love to make lists. Some of you know that. I love lists. bullet points, 1, 2, 3s, all that. And this passage is ripe and very tempting for me to make a bunch of lists. What do new converts need to do? Repent, be baptized, be saved. That's what Peter tells them. List of three things. What will they get? Their sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit, the promises of God. Three things. What does the church devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. Four things. Lots of lists. But I don't think any of those lists really capture the feel of this passage. Do they? See, the new covenant community consists of cut to the heart. Lives turned around, immersed, devoted disciples of Jesus. Those are words that go beyond a list and phrases. These are intense, deep, rich words that describe all of those who have devoted their lives to following Christ. So when Peter is asked by the crowd, what should we do? If we want to believe this gospel, then what should we do? Peter doesn't waffle. He doesn't say, you know, whatever. He says, repent, be baptized, be saved. This community that he's inviting them into is a high commitment community. To repent is a picture of a radical life change, to be turned around. To be baptized is a word that means to be immersed. There is this deep involvement in these covenant symbols. Baptism is a covenant symbol. Communion, breaking of the bread, is a covenant symbol. God does not do low commitment. When God talks to his people, he says, love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, then you have to lose it for my sake. These are high commitment words. But at the same time, to a culture that fears commitment, we don't see a picture of a bored, oppressed community, do we? This picture of the early church is vibrant, radiant. There's life that's pulsating from it. Words are used to describe them, their hearts, like glad and generous. They're praising God. This is a vibrant community. Covenant and commitment are not opposed to vibrancy and radiance and life. The new covenant of Christ does restrict us. To be in this covenant, it means we have said we are not worshiping other gods. We are not following other masters besides Jesus. We do not get to credit ourselves for anything we have done or accomplished. It restricts us. There are things we cannot do if we want to enter into this covenant. But it restricts us from things that kill community, that kill souls. Not from good things. Covenant, this covenant draws us back to the path that leads to life. So, if to be in the church, to be a Christian, means to be a part of the new covenant, to enter into this new covenant, how does that influence how we think about church membership in our local church? And I think these two things are deeply related, to enter into the church and to enter into a church, because each one of our local churches is a manifestation of the church, global church of God. I hope that membership is more than lower rates for our weddings and a place to have our funerals. It's a covenant relationship. It's promises that we make to one another. I am yours. You are mine. We belong to one another. We belong here together. It says, I'm not just a consumer of this spiritual community. I'm a giver just as much as I'm a receiver. I'm part of a movement. I want to live the gospel life together with you all through thick and thin, following Jesus wherever he takes us. This church is about living that gospel life together, glorifying, growing, and glowing together. We've said that this is what we're about as a church community. And a covenant is our commitment to one another that this is where we want to go. This is the direction we want to walk together. It's the kind of standard that draws us back when we stray. It's not that if you break one of the rules of a covenant, you're out. It's that when you stray from it, you know where to return to. It's our guide. If we're going to do this gospel life together, how are we going to do it? And so that's, as conversations continued, we've drafted a membership covenant. And I invite you, it's on the table as you go towards the back. I didn't want you to get distracted by reading it all in your pews today. But this draft of a membership covenant is based on our vision, and you'll see it very clearly. There's a whole section, living the gospel life together, what does that mean? Glorifying God in whole life worship, what does that look like? And so on. It's what we're about, where we're going, how we're going there. And personally, I don't think that there's anything in there that's unbiblical or excessive or cultish. It's not saying that you must attain to some moral or spiritual standard to be a part of our community. It's a common, a shared commitment to travel towards Christ. Wherever you are on that path, we're heading in the same direction. And so what we're asking you to do is to look at it and to say, is this something that, a commitment that you can share? If not, why not? Is this a commitment I can make? If not, what is holding me back? Personally, I don't really care how many members we have, how many people have that label member of Point Place UCC. I don't really ultimately think God, when we are going into heaven someday, asks for church membership roles. I don't think so. What I care about is that to be a member of this community means something. That our membership reflects our community, who we actually are. I want to change in some ways the way we think about being in community together, what it means to be a member of this community. And I personally think the best way to think about our community is in the terms that God uses when he establishes his community, these terms of covenant. However, we're a congregational church, which means that what I want doesn't ultimately make a whole lot of difference. What I want actually means governmentally as much as what any of you want. We all get a vote. And so it's your decision whether you agree, whether you want to think of church and church membership in these terms, in this way. Covenants are about doing relationship together. The goal of a covenant is not to exclude people, to decide who's in and who's out, to have control over people. They're about doing relationship on a deeper level. I believe that God gives us covenant because it is commitment that leads to depth and trust, security, and life. They're about committing to one another. They're about claiming the high calling of the gospel and promising to be there for one another as we follow that calling. And so, whatever we decide on covenant and membership, I still hope and pray that the direction of this community would be towards vibrant, deep, committed community. To be this community that God forms on Pentecost, this community of cut to the heart, lives turned around, immersed, devoted followers of Jesus. Let's pray. Holy God, you have called us to be your holy people, to be in covenant relationship with you. You have promised yourself to us. You have given your life for us. you have shown us that your way is the way to resurrection and life. Help us to face the things in each one of our lives, my own included, that keep us from fulfilling those same promises to you, from committing ourselves, from giving our lives to you. And help us to be wise as we cultivate this community of Point Place UCC, that we would follow your will for us, that we would listen to your voice, and that in that, we would find greater depth with one another and with you. Amen.